In the world's final hour, the once charismatic leader brought his people to the scorching soil of judgment. What began as an attempt to free America from the ills of corruption had ended in global destruction and the complete collapse of Western civilization. Hundreds of thousands of men and women stood mesmerized at the brightly illuminated humanoid figures swirling in choreographed aerial maneuvers overhead. But only 144,000 of them would be chosen to live in paradise for 1,000 years. They all stood before the Son of God, listening to their sins being read aloud. Many hung their heads in shame, while others wept in regret for their iniquities in the celebration of pride and gluttony. For one not needed to pull a single trigger to bear guilt in the murder of innocence. One not needed to partake in travesty to be complicit in its rippling hardships on others. The king, of course, was not responsible for what his people were feeling. Everyone willingly participated in the downward spiral of humanity. However, Asylus could not fight off the dread of his darkest moment. He allowed the weight of the world to rest on his shoulders as he watched his son struggle in lifting himself off the patient's bed. The sight of Jacob with blood-stained garments made his heart sink deep into the black abyss of his soul.
Jacob, I'm sorry. Everyone listen. Listen up. I must confess to you all now that I have failed you as a king, as a brother, as a beacon in your darkest of nights. All I wanted was to preserve the American dream. That was my goal. But it seems like a million years ago since that actually meant something. I have failed demonstrably.
Sir, you did the best you could given the circumstances. Look, you saved us from hostile countries and even those wretched lizard people.
Looking back, Jeremy, maybe it was best to just leave things as they were. I can't help but feel like the only thing I ever did was interfere with the natural order of things to obtain some ideal that was never meant for the human race. Maybe we're simply not built to be harmonious. And that's why so many systems were put into place to control us. I don't know. I just don't know.
Father, we all followed you because you were the best chance we had. To obtain that ideal, as you say it, it could only happen under your leadership.
I wish I could believe that was true, my son. But I have a feeling if you ever got the chance to be king, perhaps you could have led the human race to that ideal place. There's just no way that could have ever happened with me on the throne.
Right now, though, it looks like we're all about to be judged, whether we like it or not. There is no more kingdom. There are no more countries. Our Savior has arrived, and all of those ideals, and much more, are about to be rolled out right here on Earth. Don't you see? The Son of God is here! Don't you understand? We are all about to enter the paradise we've all dreamed of.
As Lord Oreb's excitement grew, a foreboding sound echoed in the distance. Just then, the Night Spartan Gideon entered the medic tent. He was holding a bloody sword and had a stern look on his face. His eyes locked with Asylus's as he spoke.
Asylus Roman, mighty King of America, the Lord and Savior of mankind, Jesus Christ, has handed his judgment of you and everyone else in this tent. Prepare to face that judgment now.
New Kingdom Radio Theater.
Fans of this epic fiction podcast have been waiting years for this, and it has finally arrived. The first novel based on the rise of King Asylus is here. Get your copy of The Ouroboros on Amazon.com. Find out how General Roman rose to power during the Second Civil War of the United States. Get details about his involvement with the Monster Group. There is so many action-packed details in this incredible book. It is every bit as epic as the audio drama. Go to Amazon now and search The Ouroboros by J.V. Torres or click the link in the show notes.
Gideon took slow, heavy steps into the center of the tent. He first turned his attention to Dr. Slaughter and three nurses that stood next to him. He merely uttered the word sinners and lifted his sword. The women screamed as he wielded his sword, decapitating the nurses and Dr. Slaughter with one swing. Everyone in the tent watched in horror and froze in disbelief. He then turned his attention to Princess Monica, who held her infant son in her arms. Monica brushed her body against Prince Jacob, who struggled to hold himself up.
Gideon, what the hell are you doing? I command you lay down your sword this instant.
Asylus! You are no longer my master. I follow the orders of the Alpha Omega, King of Kings, Lord of all Lords. The world has a new ruler, and the Earth will now be governed by a theocracy with Jesus Christ at the throne of that theocracy.
Wait. At least let me hand my baby to his father. I shouldn't be holding him in my arms.
Hold on a minute, Gideon. Remember, I made you, and I'm the one who brought you here. I created you. You only answer to me.
Father, what are you saying?
Yes, that was once true, but no longer. So come on with it. Confess this now, Asylus. Let everyone know the truth. In your final moments, tell your son that I'm his half-brother. Something he has never known until this time.
My half-brother? What are you talking about?
Your father is also the father of all the Spartans.
All of the Spartans? Father, what is he talking about?
The Spartans are special, Jacob. You know that.
Yes. But how is it that you're also their father? What does that mean?
It means that when the Drax did their little experimentations with the human hybrids, your father used his DNA to manufacture all of us. Isn't that right, Asylus?
So, in essence, I am your father, Gideon, and I am ordering you to lay down your sword. Honor thy mother and thy father. That is what the good book says.
Don't you dare attempt to use the words from the good book now to suit you. That is blasphemy!
You can't do this, Gideon!
Oh my God, Jacob. No. You can't take me away from my baby. He needs his mother, Gideon. Don't do this.
Gideon, I'm begging you, please spare my wife.
Jacob, I suggest that you put that baby down. For you and your wife have been condemned to the pits of oblivion.
Gideon, don't do this! Stop! Please!
I am doing God's will, Asylus. This is the judgment for their sins. Your son is guilty of murder and other atrocities. Oh, he pretends to be honorable and shines his boyish charm. But he is a ruthless killer who recently wanted to murder his own father.
Gideon, no!
Jacob placed the baby on the bed and stood with defiance and tears in his eyes. Monica whimpered, but said nothing more. With one swing of his sword, Prince Jacob and Princess Monica were beheaded. This stunned the king and Lord Oreb, as a dead silence enveloped the tent for a few moments. The two men stood there, looking down at the headless bodies laying on the ground. Blood spilled in all directions. Then the silence was broken by that of the crying baby Asylus. Then Gideon turned his attention to Oreb.
Jeremy Oreb, you are guilty of murder and fornication of the worst sort. Lies, blasphemy, deceit, and for abandoning your vows to our God. By the order of the King of Earth, Jesus Christ, you are condemned to spend eternity in oblivion.
My king, it has been an honor and a privilege to have served with you all these years. I am proud to have served with you in the United States military and to have helped you with your missions as ruler of the New Kingdom of America. I leave you, sir, but not willingly, and I will not face my executioner. I will stand here and look into your eyes in my final moment, my king. This is what I wish to take with me into eternity. This one last look into the face of my king. Goodbye, my brother. Know that I have loved you like no one else.
Goodbye, Jeremy. The honor has always been mine.
Again, Gideon swung his sword, and Oreb's headless body dropped at Asylus's feet, spilling blood onto his boots. Baby Asylus continued to wail in the background. Asylus stared at Oreb's lifeless body and started to weep.
Can I at least say goodbye to my queen? Will the Son of Man afford me the mercy of saying goodbye to the love of my life?
That is impossible. Queen Anna has already been judged and sent into the abyss of oblivion, as have all the remaining members of your court. There is no one left, just you.
I have been stripped of absolutely everything, but I still love my God. I wish to still serve him.
Your words are empty, just like your heart. And you are not stripped of absolutely everything. That grandson of yours, Christ has spared him, for he is innocent. But he will be renamed. He will never know his true origins, his lineage, or the atrocities his grandfather committed on this planet. He will be spared of that knowledge. It is the price you pay for God's pardoning of your grandson.
I accept this.
You have done many horrific things, Asylus. But in spite of this, I take no pride in carrying out these judgments. It is simply to maintain the path of destiny and to ensure the balance of the universe.
But you will have to live with the fact that you killed your brother and father, and who knows how many others in your time here on Earth. You are far from innocent yourself.
It isn't for me to say one way or another the ways of our Creator. It isn't for you either. What happens to me after this is none of your concern. Now, kneel.
That I will not do.
You will have to kill me where I stand, and look me in the eyes when you do it. Just know I regret absolutely nothing. You can tell that to your new king.
As you wish.
And with that, Gideon raised his sword, swung it quickly, and with laser precision, the king's body dropped to the floor next to his son and Oreb. It was over. King Asylus was dead. There was no fanfare, no send-off, no mourners, no burial, and no memorial for the only man who have ever ruled over the entire globe. Gideon simply sheathed his sword, picked up baby Asylus, and walked back toward the Alpha Omega.
Fit for for a king.
Wait, what happened to the baby?
The baby? Well, nothing gets past you, Truman. That remains a mystery. But there was a paradise on the earth for 1,000 years. Everything was wonderful and plentiful. There was no pain, no death, no sickness. People lived without growing old. There was no drama. People worshipped every day, and everyone was eager to serve one another and our immortal king.
Our mortal king? Hold on a minute. You say that as if you were there, Dr. Bogdan.
That's because I was one of the 144,000 chosen to live in paradise for 1,000 years.
You're joking, right? How is that possible? You're saying you are over 1,000 years old?
1,444 years to be exact. But I honestly lost count. But that's neither here nor there. I feel my time is almost up. I'm glad to have finally told this story to you. It's a long story, I know, but I'm glad you're taking notes. It's important, because I'm unsure how much longer I will be around.
Hold on a minute. If you were one of the 144,000 that lived on this paradise on Earth, where are the rest?
The rest? I don't know, actually.
Dr. Bogdan, forgive me if I think this whole thing sounds a bit crazy.
Listen, I've been your teacher since you were children. Tell me, have I ever looked younger than I do now?
Come to think of it, no.
I have lived a very long time. I've seen the best the universe has to offer and the worst. And I sense very bad times for humanity are ahead. I trust no others like I do you two. There is an evil presence in the world. I believe Beals has returned from the depths of oblivion, and he is corrupting everything. That is why people need to know the story of Osiris. At some point, I believe this story will repeat itself.
What can we do?
You will have to retell this story as much as you can. Because I will not be around much longer to do this. Write books about King Osiris. Tell everyone who will listen.
But this sounds like a fairy tale, Dr. Bogdan. No one is going to believe it, any of it. I'm not even sure I believe it.
Me neither. I mean, there's no proof Osiris even existed. This could all be your imagination or something.
And if I showed you proof, would you believe it then?
Maybe.
I'm open to it.
Okay then. Follow me. Help me pull the tarp off of this thing.
What is this thing?
This is the net ray machine.
It looks like a piece of rusted junk. It's like an old lift motor or something.
Oh, this is no lift motor. Push this green button here.
Okay, so what's its power source?
I think it is self-powering, I'm not really sure how it works.
What does it do?
It neutralizes nuclear bombs, remember? I mentioned this.
Oh yeah. I bet it shoots down dragons and unicorns too, huh?
Dr. Bogdan, nuclear bombs don't exist, so how will we be able to test it?
Nuclear bombs don't exist yet. But believe me, someone out there is working on building one.
Where did you find this thing?
In a cave, high up in the mountains. And that's not all I found. Come over here.
Whoa! What is that thing?
I think it's one of King Asylus's computers. But I haven't been able to power it up.
How did you know it's a computer? Maybe it's a bomb. And if you try to power it up, it'll explode.
Maybe. Or maybe it's a computer. And we can learn something about people who lived in the distant past.
You said you think it belonged to King Asylus. What makes you think that?
Look here. Look. It's the king's seal.
The three spikes with the crown in the middle, just like you described.
Dr. Bogdan, have you tried using the power source from the net ray to start up the computer?
That's a brilliant idea, but I don't know if it's even possible.
Here, let me try. Let's just scoop this thing closer to that rusted old net ray.
Oh my god! It's starting up! Look at all the lights! Incredible!
I've never seen anything like it! It's so pretty! I guess that's a screen?
Let's not touch it. Wait for it completely power up. After all, it's been through a lot for over 1,000 years.
Man, this hunk of junk doesn't work! It's too old. It's probably gonna start burning up.
I think something is happening.
It's dying. Probably angry we woke it up from its deep sleep.
Shh, listen.
What is it? I don't hear anything.
What's it saying?
I don't know.
Look, this symbol. I've seen this before. I think it's the symbol for translation.
How on God's earth do you know that?
It's dark. Hello? Hello?
Oh my God, the computer's talking. Hello, my name is Grace, and I'm here with Dr. Bogdan and Chuman. Who are you?
Where's my grandson? Tell me this instance. I command you to tell me.
Your grandson? Who are you, first of all?
I am your king and master. Now answer me. Where is my grandson?
I don't believe it. Dr. Bogdan, say something.
I won't ask again. Where is my grandson?
Yes, I'm here.
You've been listening to the series conclusion of The Rise of King Asylus, episode 90. Dissension, starring J.V. Torres as King Asylus, Michael Marshall as Gideon, Dominic Notaro as Prince Jacob, L.A. Bonet as Princess Monica, Stephen Fisher as Lord Jeremy Oreb, Conway Fitzgerald as Chuman, Felicia Capice as Grace, and narrated by Sergei Brezhnikov. For more information about the cast, the music, or this production, please visit us at www.theriseofkingasylus.com for a full list on our Season 6 episode page. Get your copy of the book The Ouroboros, the first novel based on this audio drama. Available now on Amazon.com. Click the link in the show notes and order your copy today. This has been a production of the New Kingdom Radio Theater in Baltimore, Maryland. Copyright 2023. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for the lost episodes and Season 7, due for release in 2024.